Fred Rogan and Rodney Peet, lunchtime with Rogan and Rodney, 866-987-2570. That is the phone number for the BJ's Restaurant and Brewhouse Lunch Hour. You give us your best 30-second take, and you'll win a $100 gift card to BJ's Restaurant and Brewhouse, over 140 menu items, 50 craft beers, and the one-of-a-kind Pizookie dessert. A lot to get to at 12:20. Ned Colletti will be on the program. We'll also put a grand in your hand, try to give you $1,000. 12:30, we'll make you the smartest person in the room. Let's see if you are the smartest person in the room. Because I'll tell you, there doesn't seem to be a lot of smarts going around when it comes to the Dodgers right now. Just another disappointing, disheartening loss in Miami last night. And the thing about it is you have Justin Turner back, Rodney, and you think, all right, this is going to ignite the fuse. They still can't hit.
Against a bad team. So it's like a perfect scenario. You get Justin Turner back. Everybody's been waiting for him to come back. He comes back. He's ready to come back. You're playing the Marlins, a team that you should beat, and they still can't get it done. That just adds to the dismal start of the season for the Dodgers. It's really disheartening, and I want to say it's not panic time, but man, it's getting close.
Wait a minute, are we talking ourselves into something? Are we trying to convince ourselves of something that simply is not? Here's what I mean. The Dodgers are a train wreck right now. They can't hit. If they can hit, then they can't pitch. They continue to lose. They're losing against really bad teams.
Yeah.
Teams that they should beat. And we keep sitting here and saying, that's fine. You know what? They'll shake out of it. They'll snap out of it. In the meantime, the losses are starting to pile up. Are we delusional? Are we missing something here?
No, because we've got recent history on our side. You know, going back just to last year, it was a tale of three seasons. You know what I mean? Actually, four seasons, because they started off struggling, right? Then they got it going. They went on an incredible run. They were winning games that they should not have won through the month of June, July, and then part of August. Then August, mid-August hits, September hits. They go into a dive like nobody's seen before. They lose games that they shouldn't have lost to teams that they shouldn't have lost to. And everybody was saying, oh, my God, they're not even going to make the playoffs. They're not even going to win the division. They get it turned around, and they go and they roll to the World Series, losing in seven games. So they got it turned around. So we saw that happen last year. But right now, to start the season, you know, at least last year they built up enough equity that they could go through that lull. They could go through that losing period and still recover from it. Now they're putting themselves in such a hole, you know, you start to wonder, can they recover if they keep going like this?
I remember when Don Mattingly was managing the Dodgers. And they were going through this horrible slump, this terrible losing streak. So much so, we'll ask Ned about it when we bring him on. He had a conversation with Don and said, Donnie, if you don't turn this thing around, it's over. I mean, we got to make a change here. And Mattingly basically told him at that time, we're restarting the season today. We're just restarting. Forget our record. We're restarting our season right here and right now. And they did restart it, and they caught fire, and they went on, and they won the division. But he had to say in the most dismal of times that we're going to restart the season. And I'm wondering if it's got to get to that point with this Dodger group.
Well, I mean, something's got to give. Something's got to give. And it can't be just lip service, because everyone, it can be one person saying it. And we all know Dave Roberts. He's a great guy. And all these people calling in about and talking about recently about him being fired, they need to stop it. Stop it. Stop it right now. He's the perfect guy for this job, perfect guy for this organization. But it just can't be him believing it. It's got to be the whole team. Everybody's got to buy in. I'm talking not just players. I'm talking about the managers, the trainers. I'm talking about even my son in the clubhouse, RJ. They all got to believe that they're going to get this thing turned around. Otherwise, it's not going to happen.
I said it was unfair earlier in the week. I maintain it still is unfair, because I pointed at one man and thought this one man.
You called him out.
Well, yeah, but I said before calling him out, that it's unfair. Justin Turner, the only guy that isn't playing, one of the emotional leaders of the club, when he gets back, he's got to do something. And it's completely and totally unfair to place that burden on one man, especially in the game of baseball. But I truly believed that he had to be the guy. Got a hit last night, hit the ball hard last night, almost got hit last night. After the game, he was asked about dealing with the pressure of returning.
It's just about going out there and taking good at-bats and trying to do everything I can to help the team win. It's not, one guy's not going to make a difference. We know that. We know how special our team was last year, and it wasn't about one guy. It was about all 25. So hopefully just be a compliment to this team and help them win games.
All right, so he needs to help them win games. But on the other side, somebody's just got to hit the ball. Here's Dave Roberts.
We hit a lot of balls hard tonight, all throughout the night, and didn't get rewarded for it. And the intent, the fight was there.
Well, the intent was there. The fight was there. The result was not.
Science!
The Dodgers have lost 5 in a row, 8 of the last 10.
Science!
If the Dodgers can play 600 baseball for the rest of the season, they'll win 88 games.
Ouch.
Ouch. Science!
The Dodgers have lost 7 straight games against teams with a record below 500. Last season, they were 68-25 against teams with a losing record, the best mark in baseball last year.
Science!
The Dodgers have lost 11 of 13 games against opposing pitchers with ERAs above 5.
Science!
The offense is 4-for-37 with runners in scoring position in the last 5 games against 2, the worst teams in the National League.
Science!
Not a pretty picture.
Not a pretty picture. Not a pretty picture. You know, but here's the thing, and I said this earlier, that you know, sometimes when you have enough guys that have that memory and that history on your side, it doesn't take much to catch fire. You just mentioned Don Mattingly, say, our season starts now, and they caught fire. You know, the Dodgers have caught fire in the past. They've done that. There's enough guys on the team that understand that all it takes is a few wins together, and all of a sudden they get on a roll. Baseball's a long season. We keep saying that. But as you start to get into mid-May, late May, early June, you fall so far behind, it's hard to catch up. So they can't let themselves get too far behind. But it's not out of the realm for the Dodgers to catch fire and get on a roll, because the team does still have those magical players that can get it done.
All right, now, do you know who Chris Padilla is? He writes for Dodger Digest. And what he does is he keeps submitting letters online to Dave Roberts. So he's writing open letters to Dave Roberts. I'm going to read one of his letters. Just change it up. Blow the dang thing up. Pop open 5 Red Bulls and stay up all night to work on something completely outside the box, because this ain't working no more. I'm prepared to be chastised when I say that I really think that Don Mattingly would have a better hold on this clubhouse right now. Donnie Ballgame sticks up for his players when the time is right, and the time has been right for any number of games over the first 40, Dave. The fire under the club is on flickering embers, and you're shaking your head at it. It's time for you to be the gasoline. Don't worry about us. We're Dodger fans. We'll be at the park almost every game. Either way, just help give us something to cheer about. Now, this is just one of the letters that he has put online, and they are open letters written to Dave Roberts. So what we thought today for the BJ's Restaurant and Brewhouse Lunch Hour question, 866-987-2570, your best 30-second take gets a $100 gift card to BJ's Restaurant and Brewhouse. Now, it's going to be a brief letter. Maybe yours is going to be a postcard.
You got to keep it to 30 seconds.
Yeah, that's we get so many calls during the noon hour. Keep it to 30 seconds. You can write an open letter to the Dodgers. You can write it to Andrew Friedman, to Farhan Zaidi. You can write it to Dave Roberts. You can write it to the players. You can write a postcard. Just go postcard. 30 seconds. What would your postcard say to the Dodgers? 866-987-2570. In 30 seconds, Rodney, what would your postcard say to the Dodgers?
My postcard would say, you've been there before. You just came off a World Series that you took the Astros to 7 games. You are a good team. Believe in yourself. Believe in who you are. And do what you do. Don't try to do more than what you're capable of doing. And I think that's the biggest thing that the players are doing. They're trying to do more. We saw Cody Bellinger trying to bunt with 3-0 count. I mean, do your job.
You're over 30 seconds.
I said do your job. That was it.
No.
Boom.
You were over 30 seconds.
I said do your job.
I don't think you made the cut, Rod. Sorry.
I said do your job and you buzzed me.
Nah, no more bazookas for you, bro.
Oh, man. Ain't that about a bitch?
So in 30 seconds, send your postcard to the Dodgers. Mine would be very brief. Get it together. Hit the ball. That's it. That would be my postcard.
Hit the ball.
Hit the ball. Get it together.
Very informative, Fred.
Hit. I've only got 30 seconds. At least I didn't go over 30 seconds.
I didn't. You buzzed me after I said my last word.
You were over before that. You know why?
Oh.
Because I was timing. 866-987-2570. Get online now. We'll start sprinkling your calls in. Yesterday, we took an awful lot of calls because people kept it to 30 seconds. We want to get everybody on today. Also, Ned Coletti will join us at 1220. If anybody can have some perspective on this thing, it's Ned Coletti. And at 1230, let's find out if you are the smartest person in the room. Fred Rogan and Rodney Peet on AM 570 LA Sports. Fred Rogan and Rodney Peet, AM 570 LA Sports.
All right. They do love me. I love it.
They're good. Gary and Shannon are great.
Yes, they are.
All right, listen, 30 seconds. That's the deal today. Ned Coletti will join us here in a second. We'll give you a chance to win $1,000 coming up. 1230, we'll make you the smartest person in the room. But a postcard, 30 seconds, an open postcard to the Dodgers. What do you want to say? Parker in West Covina, you're on AM 570 LA Sports. Go ahead. Hey, Parker, you there?
Yes,
sir. Hey, Parker, you know what? You hear that sound?
Yeah. What is that? That's your ticket.
That's the clock ticking. You only get 30 seconds.
To whom I may concern in the Dodger dugout, please do something for me. If you can't hit the ball, lower the prices on the beer. I can't afford $150 a night just to see you lose against the Marlins. Thank you very much.
Oh, he made it. Nice.
Lower the prices on the beer.
You know, well, the Baltimore Ravens did that.
Yeah, they did.
The Atlanta Falcons did that.
Yeah.
And they actually sold more.
Made more money.
Well, maybe they lowered the prices on the food.
Yeah.
The goal is not to get you good and just trashed out there.
It may make it easier to watch what's happening on the field if you are a little bit, you know, liquored up.
Yeah, but we don't want you to be acting a fool. All right, Ruben in Huntington Beach, you have 30 seconds. Go.
Yes, let go of the past. Forget the past. I know it hurts. We're the fans, and we still hurting from last year. But like Bob Seger said, turn the page. Concentrate on this season, and we'll get there again. Out.
All right. Nice job. I think the clock is helping.
It is. They feel it, right?
Yeah, they feel the urgency. They feel the urgency. All right, let's go. Ray in La Habra. Go ahead.
Hello, dear Dodgers. Don't lose confidence. You are a great team. You will get it together. Don't force it. Don't push it. Be selective on your pitches. It's a team effort. You win together. Okay? You can do it. You've done it before.
Nice job.
Thank you.
Like the positiveness going on right now. I love that.
Ray's got it. Everybody's going to be positive now when they can win $1,000.
Hey, let me tell you something. Answer the phone when somebody calls you. You're trying to win $1,000. You text already, and you got to answer the phone. That's the only way you can win. Answer the phone.
You can win right now with your best 30-second postcard to the Dodgers, 866-987-2570. Best 30-second take gets a $100 gift card to BJ's Restaurant and Brewhouse. Ant and Chino Hills, your name, 570 LA Sports. Go ahead.
Dear Mr. Gutenheimer, you got the wrong guy in the front office and the wrong guy managing. I've been a Dodger fan since 62, and Koufax was on the mound and Wheels was stealing bases. The Dodgers have always been about pitching and the Dodger way to play baseball. Read the book.
All right, thanks, Ant. But here's the problem with Ant's postcard.
Yeah.
It's going to be...
It's not Guggenheimer.
It's going to be returned to sender.
Got the name wrong?
Yeah, it's not Mr. Guggenheimer. It's the Guggenheim Group. Mark Walter is actually the controlling owner.
Yes.
So you might want to address it to him and not to the Guggenheimers. BJ, wouldn't it be ironic if BJ won BJ's? Go ahead. Go ahead, BJ.
Oh, I'm so sorry. Here we go. Dear Dodgers, we love you. We are dreamers, so it seems like you need some local love. Acquire Nolan Arenado for third base. The fans will keep you in the game and rock your world. Go Blue.
All right, good take.
A good take, but bad take. Just get rid of Justin Turner, huh? Just get rid of him.
Well, and also,
in the world.
The other part of it is, it's not exactly fantasy baseball.
No.
So we just can't make a deal.
Yeah.
Let's go get Nolan Arenado. You know what?
Let's bring back Derek Jeter.
Although, you can't really complain about what he's doing in Miami. They're playing as well as the Dodgers. But, I mean,
even with the fire sale.
I'm telling you. Who are those guys? They're guys that are beating the Dodgers. That's who those guys are. Chris in Los Angeles, you're on AM 570 LA Sports. Go ahead.
Hey, my postcard would be, dear Dodgers, I'm here in the pre-2000s. Wish you were here with me. Please stop trying to play analytics and long ball and go back to the basics of baseball, which is small ball, manufacturing runs. We just saw Cincinnati, one of the worst teams in baseball. Steal bases, conduct a squeeze play. The Marlins were just lost games because we didn't play small ball. Please go back to what baseball is all about.
All right. Appreciate the take. 866-987-2570. Mike listens to the show all the time, Rodney, and he tweets, you guys need to speak on how the Dodgers didn't improve themselves during last offseason while everybody got better. Well, what do you want us to play?
The name game.
Yeah, I mean, where would they have made those improvements? You could argue the bullpen. But, I mean, listen, they went to France to get a guy.
Escargot?
Right, Escargot. You know, escargot is snails. It's an acquired taste.
Chargois, I believe his name is.
Thanks, Kev.
Yeah, we know his name is Chargois. Not his name is Escargot.
Come on, Kev.
No, he's not performing that well, but a little respect. Jeez.
Well, listen, escargot is an acquired taste.
It is an acquired taste.
And for many people, it's a delicacy.
Right.
And but what you learn is not everybody likes snails.
That's right. And Chargot is he's a little sour right now.
He's a little sour. Escargot's a little sour. That's all it is. Okay, let's go. Ryan and Laguna, you're on AM570 LA Sports. Go ahead.
My postcard to the Dodgers would be true blue, feeling you. If you want to win, is what you should do. All these lineup changes, tomato, tomato. Go and get us some Manny Machado.
Ooh.
That wasn't bad.
Ooh. Not bad. Not bad.
Yeah, but here's the thing. They're not going to go get you some Manny Machado.
No.
But you know what I'm concerned about?
Even if they did, it doesn't necessarily mean that, again, to the Justin Turner answer, one guy's not going to turn it around. It's a collective deal.
My concern is this. At what point do you look at this and go, we're sellers, not buyers? I mean, if this continues the way it is, and it's you know, you can't emphasize it enough, but it's still early. At what point do you go, you know, this might be a lost season? And that's kind of where what I'm starting to think now. I mean, you got to beat Miami. Come on. You got to beat Miami. You got to beat Cincinnati. You got to beat the teams you're supposed to beat. Earlier in the science segment, you mentioned their record against teams they were supposed to beat last year.
Right.
63-28. This year, they can't beat anybody that they're supposed to beat.
Well, here's the thing, too. I think that, you know, and I don't like to play the name game. And I think when you're a team that goes all the way to game 7 of the World Series, you don't need a complete overhaul just to get, you know, play the name game to bring in certain guys, because, you know, it'd be one thing if you got swept in the World Series, but they went to game 7 with the team that they had. But when you look at the bullpen, which, you know, at the end of the year last year was the best in baseball going into the playoffs. And maybe the only fight that you needed to make was Brandon Morrow, the guy that you let go and didn't want to pay or didn't pay because you couldn't pay him. He was a big difference maker. And maybe that is the one thing that, you know, you probably regret. Other than that, you know, let's not go back in time and go, oh, we should have got this guy. We should have did this in the offseason. We should have got this free agent, that free agent. No. You got to game 7 of the World Series with the team you have. No one foresaw, you know, Justin Turner getting hurt before the season, or Corey Seager not, you know, being out for the season. You know, those things happen, and you're going to have pitfalls because of that. But let's not go crazy and say, oh, we should have did this in the offseason. No, you went to game 7 of the World Series. You were good enough to get there with the team you got, which is a young, good team. Let's build on that. These guys will get better.
And the other side of it, quite frankly, is this. Even if you had retained Brendan Morrow doesn't hit. And
correct.
The issue here, more than anything, is the lack of hitting. That's the problem. I mean, did you really project Chris Taylor to struggle like this? I didn't. Did you project Cody Bellinger to have a different kind of year? I did. I did simply.
But not to this point. Not to this level.
Right. But I did because it's his second year around.
Yeah, and it was a one-off kind of rookie season he had. He just burst on the scene. People didn't know him. And you expect there's going to be a drop-off. You had to expect there's going to be a drop-off with him.
Right. But did you expect Puig to...
He's been injured.
...get hurt? Did you expect that? Did you expect Andrew Toles to get hurt in the minors?
Right.
Did you expect that? Jock, I don't know what you expect. But nonetheless, did you expect that? Logan Forsythe got hurt. Did you expect that? So, I mean, when you say we should have and made all of these moves during the offseason, the bottom line is you can't make the moves during the offseason because given the team you had, you think we're in pretty good shape.
Yeah. Yeah, you are. You really are in good shape. Because everybody, if you bring back and everybody's healthy to start the season, you got a pretty good lineup. But everybody wasn't healthy, including your starting shortstop, you know, who struggled and was hurt in the offseason. We found out that he had to have a season-ending, you know, Tommy John surgery. So that's a big blow. And then you lose your leader, third baseman, to start the season. So there's going to be a drop-off. There's going to be fallout. And for people to say, oh, it's – oh, my God, oh, we got to, you know, the whole front office is wrong. Or Dave Roberts is doing something wrong and he needs to be fired. You know, you can't predict that. No one has a crystal ball to let you know that, oh, Justin Turner is going to miss the first 40 games.
Right.
Corey Seager is going to be, you know, have Tommy John. And we don't know what's going to happen. Logan Forsythe's going to get hurt. We're going to have to make, you know, do a makeshift lineup every single night. You don't foresee that.
All right, what's your postcard? Ruben in Los Angeles, you're on AM 570 LA Sports. Go ahead.
Hi, this is Ruben in Los Angeles. You cut out on me, so I don't know if it's me. But listen, guys, we need to be, as a fan base, we need to be accepting as opposed to expecting. The guys are going to get it going. It's still early. Just like you said, Mr. Rogan, we're going to make it happen. And I believe that this is going to be the year that we get back to the World Series. You cannot give up yet. As a fan base, we have to accept where we are and support the guys, take the pressure off a little bit so that these guys can, like, get off this tonight, start beating the teams that we're supposed to beat. There's no reason why we should be.
All right, well, you went over, Ruben. Too bad.
Yeah, he started off a little.
Yeah, that got him. All right, is it Herman in Inglewood?
It's German in Inglewood.
Come on, German, let's go.
Fred, Rodney, the thing is, we expected players that had career years to come back and do the same thing. Puig, Bellinger, Taylor. We got rid of Morrow, which was our heart and soul in the bullpen. And now our players are hurt. Starting pitchers are hurt. We can't handle that. That's all I got.
All right.
All right, German. German or German?
German.
German.
Right.
He was right. He spoke English.
Well, that was shocking. All right, if you're on hold, stay there. We'll sneak a few more in here. We'll award BJ's at the end of the hour. Next hour, Ned Colletti will join us. We'll get his take on all of this. But now it is time to determine if you are the smartest person in the room.
Is it real?
They're real, and they're spectacular.
Or fake news.
Fake.
And this Friday, don't forget to hang out with us, James Worthy, Rodney, myself, for a live broadcast from noon to 2 at Ray's Lounge, located in the all-new Hollywood Park Casino. Stop by for your chance to take a photo, get an autograph, come on down and party with us. Noon to 2, Friday. We want everybody out there at the Rays Lounge at Hollywood Park. And joining us today to compete in Real or Fake, someone I have known since they were an embryo. Oh, a South Carolina Gamecock who hails from Los Angeles and a dear family friend, Megan McClintock. Megan, thank you for being here.
Thank you for having me.
Megan, I know you're sitting in the chair and it's competition, and I see that look in your eye.
I'm gonna win.
I'm gonna let you know this right now.
Never lost! Never lost!
You have lost.
Oh, I have. Yeah, I have.
You occasionally.
Yeah, I do. I lose from time to time.
You've lost.
All right. I just like to say that.
All right. Let's go.
You
let's
understand.
Do it.
Well, I'll read the story and you'll indicate if it's real or fake.
Okay.
Is it also safe to say, despite the fact we have known each other since your birth, you have not seen today's question?
I have not.
Oh, I might have to call some BS on that one right there. I don't know.
I
this
swear.
Is like a whole family thing going on right now. Because Fred usually cheats with the guests, try to trip me up and give them hints. And I don't know what is going on right now since he's known you since the embryo.
No, I know nothing.
Okay.
No prep.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay. All right, Megan.
Here we go. Kendrick Lamar to attend and perform at the royal wedding. Popular rapper Kendrick Lamar has confirmed that he will be attending the royal wedding on May 19th and will be performing at the reception. Meghan Markle and her family have been friends with Lamar for years, and Prince Harry has been a big fan of his music, according to People magazine. Rodney, is that real or fake?
Well, considering that Megan is from Compton.
Yep.
And Kendrick is from Compton.
Yeah.
And I know Harry's a big hip hop fan.
Sure.
Absolutely real. Absolutely real. Harry does outside the box. So I know, you know, the older crowd of the Royals may not like it, but yeah, Kendrick is there and he's gonna perform.
Megan, is that real or fake?
Definitely fake. I don't think Queen Elizabeth is gonna be jamming to Humble at her grandson's wedding.
It's all fake news.
Oh.
It's phony stuff.
Come on. Nice start. Come on, Harry. All right. Clippers Jerry West took a selfie from the sky deck in Chicago. While in Chicago to represent the Clippers at the NBA Draft Lottery show last night, 79-year-old NBA legend Jerry West went to the top of the sky deck, otherwise known as the Sears Tower, to take a selfie. The picture is on the Clippers' official Instagram account. Megan, is that real or fake?
Real.
Wow. She sounded like she
knew. I'm
confident.
I'm pretty confident.
She knew that.
You think 79-year-old Jerry West is taking selfies?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
She says
I do.
It's real.
You do?
Yeah.
Wow. Well, you know, it is a new day. And they're trying to shake things up at the Clippers. I wouldn't put it past Jerry West to think outside the box and do a selfie in Chicago to get that lottery pick. Although it sounds a little far-fetched. I'm going to go fake.
Megan, I'm so disappointed in you.
It's all fake news. It's phony stuff.
Well, it's one and one.
You're fine.
We're even.
You're good.
You're fine.
Good. You're good. We're still in this thing.
All right. Here we go. 25-year-old man arrested after posing as 17-year-old to play high school basketball. Sydney Gilstrap Portley allegedly posed as a 17-year-old Hurricane Harvey refugee so he could play boys basketball in high school. The Dallas Morning News reported the 25-year-old was arrested Friday on charges of tampering with government records, was operating under the alias Rashawn Richardson, and was named Offensive Player of the Year in his district. Rodney, is that real or fake?
Wait, so he's 25.
And he said he was 17. Changed his name, won Player of the Year in his district, and played high school basketball.
Oh, my God. It sounds so crazy that it has to be true. It has to be real. It's so crazy and ridiculous. I'm going to go real. Absolutely real.
Megan.
I'm going to have to agree. I think it's real.
You think a 25-year-old would lie and say he was 17 and play high school basketball?
Of course.
Basketball?
Yes.
You're going to agree.
I agree.
It's real, boy. It's real. It's real, boy. It's real.
All right, you're tied. No.
Yeah, we're tied.
Are you tied?
Yes,
yeah, we're tied.
No. Okay. Yeah.
Yes.
Okay. All right. Man's eyes gouged out with a spoon by his dad and brothers for asking to marry girl of his choice. The Daily Mail reported the story of Abdul Baki and his depraved dad from Pakistan. After Baki had informed his father that he wanted to marry the woman he fell in love with, his father used a spoon to gouge out his son's eyeballs from their sockets. Megan, is that real or fake?
I think I'm going to go with real.
You think the father would gouge out his own son's eyes because he married the wrong woman?
Stranger things have happened.
All right, so you're saying...
I'm saying real. I'm sticking with that.
The father never wanted his son to see the woman again and gouged out his eyes. You're saying real?
Yes.
Very good. Rodney.
Oh, man. It's 2018, and even in Pakistan, I gotta believe that this can't happen. This cannot happen.
With a spoon.
With a spoon. That's horrific.
Use the spoon.
Yeah, that's agonizing pain. It's not quick. No. Not quick with a spoon.
No.
Long time.
Yeah?
I'm going to go fake.
It's fake. Real, boy. It's real. It's
I told
real,
you I was going to win.
It's real.
You ain't won yet.
Never lost.
Close. I'm close.
And he's lost. And by the way, that's a bad dad.
Bad dad.
Red
that's
Sox?
What I was going with, a bad dad.
Yeah.
I didn't want to believe it.
Okay. I think we have a new winner for dad that's done the worst thing to his son. It used to be LeVar Ball. Now, it's Abdul Baki. Red Sox pitcher Carson Smith suffers potentially major injury after throwing his glove in frustration. Boston reliever Carson Smith hurt his arm throwing his glove in the dugout after he left the game yesterday. It's unfortunate. It's got the potential of being a major injury, Dave Dombrowski said. No timetable has been set for his return. Threw his glove, hurt his arm. Could be done. Rodney, is that real or fake?
No, that didn't happen. That's fake. Absolutely fake. 100% fake.
Not the possibility of it being real.
Not even close.
Okay, Megan.
I'm going to have to say fake.
You are going to say fake?
Yes.
It's real, boy. It's
real. Oh!
It's real, boy. It's real.
In the world, this is the world coming to.
Last one.
Last one.
So wait a minute.
Megan's up first, so I play to win.
Right, so Megan, here's what can happen to you.
Okay.
You can win or tie. She cannot lose.
Here we go. Cannot lose.
You cannot lose.
Cannot lose.
Dodgers' Austin Barnes has an unusual habit. Dodger catcher Austin Barnes was seen licking a potato chip at the team lunch yesterday. When Bill Plunkett of the OC Register asked him about it, Barnes says, "I have done this since I was little. I like the flavoring off of potato chips before eating them. I lick it. My mom hates it." Megan, for the win! Is it real or fake?
I think it's fake.
You think it's fake?
I do.
You know, sometimes, you know, bad habits die hard. And if you did it as a little kid and it worked for you, you're going to continue it as an adult. I'm going to go real. Real!
If you're right, Rodney, you will tie today. But if you're wrong, Megan is the winner. Are you ready for the answer?
It's all fake news. It's phony stuff.
Come on, Austin Barnes.
Never lost.
Well, today, yeah, you lost.
Megan.
I was so close.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
Congratulations.
Nice job.
Thank you.
That doesn't happen very often.
Doesn't happen very often.
I feel pretty proud of myself.
I'm 89-2.
Well, actually, it's not really 89-2.
Something like that.
Yeah, in the ballpark. Close.
Something like that. Way to go, Megan.
Megan, thank you for coming
in.
Thank you. All right. Thanks so much. Let's get back to the BJ's Restaurant and Brewhouse Lunch Hour, 866-987-2570. Your best take, it's a $100 gift card to BJ's Restaurant and Brewhouse. It's a 30-second postcard. Dear Dodgers, Chewy in Long Beach, you're on AM570 LA Sports. Go.
The front of the postcard is going to have a picture of Robert De Niro, giving that typical Robert De Niro, "Hey, you come here, you," with two arms out. And on the back of the postcard, it's going to say, "Dear Dodgers, and we thought things were bad here. Signed, the Ohio sports fans of the Cleveland Browns and Cincinnati Reds. P.S. Can you feel it? Can you feel it? Can you feel it?"
Nice job, Chewy.
He put some thought into that.
Yeah, Chewy. He did. Manuel right. And Gardena, you're on AM570 LA Sports. Go ahead.
Guys, pitchers, stop channeling your inner gas cans. There's a great pitch called strike one. Use it. Batters and position players, try situational hitting for a change instead of swinging for the fences every effing time. Rodney, Pete, love you, man. And Fred, I think Tupac, All Eyes on Me, is the greatest hip-hop ever. You tell me, hip-hop master.
Ooh. I'm the dean.
Yeah, you're over. You're over. And a last
close.
The last one, Armando and Burbank, wrap it up.
All right, so I'm speaking to the coaching staff in the front office. We need to hold players accountable, like Dave Roberts, for example, Bench Bellinger, late April against the Giants. I mean, if you're not performing up to par, you need to sit down, man. If that doesn't work, then maybe we can try moving a player around, AAA, figure something out to say that, hey, if you're not performing, we're trying to get back to the World Series. Everybody's replaceable. That's it. Plain and simple.
All right. Nice job, Armando. We will award the winner of BJ's Restaurant and Brewhouse that $100 gift card coming up in the next segment. Next hour, Ned Coletti will join us. And when we come back, do you like it when somebody lies to you? Really just lies right to your face?
Does it make me feel good?
What do you think about it when you find out, when you know it's a lie? You know they're lying. And they look you square in the eyes and lie. We'll explain. Fred Rogan and Rodney Pete on AM570 LA Sports. Apparently, though, we didn't complete calling the game on Twitter. Lunchtime with Rogan and Rodney today sounded like a Jonestown Kool-Aid party.
Damn, that's a little harsh.
Wow.
Don't you think?
Wow.
Don't you think? A little much.
Jeez.
Come on, game. What are you doing? Hey, people can still be optimistic and still have hope. Granted, it's getting a little harder to have it, but still, they can still have some hope. They can still believe. And tonight's a new night. Maybe tonight's a night they'll turn it around. Fingers crossed. Walker Buehler goes for the Dodgers tonight.
Did you see what they got Cody Bellinger playing center field tonight?
Oh, do they?
Yeah.
Who's playing first base?
I don't know. I just saw it pop up that Cody Bellinger's playing center field.
All right. Well, they're going to shake it up one way or the other.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. So now if somebody walks up to you and tells you something, looks you directly in the eyes, and tells you something, and you know it's a lie, how do you react to that? I mean, they're blatantly lying to you. They are misrepresenting themselves, and you know it. Do you believe them? Do you trust them ever again? Because that's the situation when it comes to this sports legalized gambling. And here's the deal. We told you when this came down, and everybody ran around like chickens with their heads cut off. Oh, my God, this is going to change everything. It's going to change nothing. People are already gambling. They're already betting. So it's going to change nothing. Well, now everybody can, yeah, everybody that wants to already has. It's not like prohibition. There's offshore betting. So people have been betting for some time. And we suggested to you that the only reason any of the leagues would put up a stink is because they want their cut. They want their piece of the action. Truly, that's it. Otherwise, it's not an issue, and it's going to go through. And in California, you'll be able to do it as well. Anybody that raises their hand and says, I'm against this, no, they just want theirs. And if you remember the other day, the NFL led the way on this. You know, we're going to have to talk to Congress about this, and we're going to make sure that the integrity of the game is not compromised in any way. And we're going to need safeguards. And we're going to need systems in place to ensure that this new law will not compromise the integrity of the National Football League. Story comes out today. Sports leagues will plead with the federal government for integrity fees. The leagues are going to the government and saying, look, if this is going to be legal, hey, we can't have anybody tampering with the games. We can't have point shaving. So what we're going to do for every bet, we've got to attach an integrity fee so that we then can monitor this ourselves. So if you place a bet, part of that money is going to us. Or if it's taxed, we're going to take a piece of that tax because we must monitor this. And the only way to do this
is put a fee on it.
Put a fee on it. The integrity fee. That's the only way we will be able to monitor this. The integrity fee. No. What are they saying? We want our cut. We want our piece. We want our money. That's what they're saying. They are blatantly lying to you. Can people think that are operating any of the leagues that might suggest this, the National Football League, can people think that the American public is that stupid? I'm aware of the fact that some believe we may not be the smartest apples in the bunch. I get that. I think we have very smart listeners. But to sit here and blatantly lie about it with the, you know what? I think the league should pay us because by saying that, they have no integrity. None. They are completely lying to you. They just want their peace. That's all this is. We want ours. Just the integrity fee.
Yeah, it's absolutely ridiculous because that's absolutely what it is. It's like, look, Adam Silver came out and said it, right? Look, you know, this is where it's going. We, you know, and NBA came out and said, look, we want a percentage. They just flat out said it. And now the, you know, NFL is talking about, oh, we want an integrity fee. No, because you mentioned it. You know, it's been going on for years, right? You can do betting. I mean, Nevada's had sports betting for years, right? They didn't ask for an integrity fee from Nevada, right? So now that it's going to be, you know, nationwide, or at least in New Jersey to start with, and then probably eventually be nationwide, they're asking for this integrity fee. No, no. Now that it's going in the direction that everybody saw that it was going in, now we need to have our cut. We're going to call it, we're going to put a name to it. And maybe it makes it a little bit more palatable for the fans that we're going to keep the integrity of the game and call it an integrity fee. It's disingenuous. It really is.
Wouldn't it be better if the NFL simply said, look, if this is going to be the deal, you're betting on our product.
Yeah.
We are
partners.
We're providing it. We want our piece. You know what? Every bet we get a buck. Whatever they say.
Wouldn't
I don't
you respect
know.
Them better, right?
Wouldn't you go, okay.
Most people would respect that and say, listen, okay, now you're going to make this legal nationwide. Now, okay, you're betting on our sport. We're going to charge you a fee for that. And it's only natural. It's the American way. It's capitalism. So I don't think most people would not have a problem with that. But don't try to snow us. Don't try to BS us. Like, oh, we're going to keep the integrity of the game because now outside of Nevada, you're going to be able to bet on football. Come on.
Yeah, I just want to know, are people as stupid? Seriously, if you're really stupid, call us right now. are people that stupid? Can not any human being see right through that? Do they think we're that dumb? Do they really think the population is that stupid to even suggest that, the integrity fee? And how about this? Ante up. You know, it's going to cost you. You want to bet legally in one of your states on one of our games, we get our cut. Done. Then you make a decision. Not this integrity fee.
Done.
Because how much money does it cost to monitor the integrity of the game? What are you going to do? Put it in a pot over here? And if there's a problem, you're only going to take the money from the integrity fund?
Are they going to analyze every single bet? Like, you know, Joey in Jersey? You're going to check out Joey in Jersey to see if he talked to Joe Flacco in Baltimore? Did you have any conversation? We're going to get the phone records from Joey in Jersey to see if he talked to Joe Flacco either a week before or a month before that game that they played the Steelers. That's how we're going to get the integrity. We're going to get the phone records from Joey in Jersey.
Well, and you know what? Given that they've got to check Joey in Jersey and everybody in Jersey and everybody in the country, they need the integrity fee.
Yes.
That's a lot of money.
A lot of money to do that background check.
To get everybody's phone records a month in the United States. Boy, they got to figure it out.
Yeah.
Yep. Maybe they are pulling one over on us. Maybe. Next hour, Ned Colletti joins us. Also, gooning in the NBA. We'll touch on that. But Sam, who won today's BJs?
Today's winner, Fred and Rodney, is German from Inglewood.
Fred, Rodney, the thing is, we expected players that had career years to come back and do the same thing. Puig, Bellinger, Taylor. We got rid of Morrow, which was our heart and soul in the bullpen. And now our players are hurt, starting pitchers are hurt. We can't handle that. That's all I got.
And that's enough to win a $100 gift card to BJ's Restaurant and Brewhouse. Wherever you are and whatever you do, there is a BJ's Restaurant and Brewhouse near you. On Wednesdays, $10 loaded burgers, unlimited fries, and $4 handcrafted beers. Ned Colletti coming up next hour. And I don't know if you should call somebody a goon. It's Fred Rogan and Rodney Pete on AM 570 LA Sports. Fred Rogan and Rodney Pete, jam-packed hour. Ned Colletti joins us at about 1:20. We'll get his take on what's going on with the Dodgers. Kevin, what do we have at 1:30?
Fred, a local basketball star could be on the move should the Clippers throw their hat into the ring for him. We'll discuss that in Good Call, Bad Call.
Oh, that's good.
Oh,
look forward to that.
Juicy, Kev. Juicy.
I like that, Kevin. Also, don't forget, Friday we'll be at the Rays Lounge at Hollywood Park. Rodney, myself, Big Game James Worthy, noon to 2. We'll be out there. Come down, meet James. He'll sign autographs, take pictures, kiss babies, and run for office. Come on down. James will be there, and we will be doing the show from there. And we'd like somebody to show up before 1:45. I'm just being honest. Come down there on Friday when we start at noon. Everybody gets there about 1:30, and the place gets packed. We're there 30 minutes, and we leave. We don't get to talk to anybody, and nothing happens. Come down Friday. Start your weekend right. Come on down to Hollywood Park, the Rays Lounge. And spend some time with us. Okay. Do we agree that LeBron James and the Cavs are done. Do we agree?
No. No. I don't agree with that. I mean, look, they looked ugly. LeBron put up, you know, a monster night, triple-double, 40 points, and they still got rolled.
You know why? Because it's true. I've said it all along. One can't beat five.
No, they can't. They can't. But look, let me break it down to you. It's still LeBron James. They still got to go back to Cleveland for two. Cleveland wins both the games in Cleveland. Then it turns into a three-game series where they go back and forth. And if it gets to game seven, are you betting against LeBron in game seven?
I'm betting against the game seven.
You are. You're betting against him in game seven.
I'm betting against him in game seven.
You know, in this year, Milwaukee lost the first two. Went to Milwaukee, won two. Then they lost to Boston, went back to Milwaukee, won in Milwaukee, took it to a game seven and lost in Boston.
Well, that's because Milwaukee's a much better team than Cleveland.
Oh, they are.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Everybody knows that.
Well, then you put it that way, then yeah.
Everybody absolutely knows Milwaukee's 100 times better than Cleveland.
It's over. I guarantee you. If Cleveland wins these next two games, which is a big if, because Boston is finally, I think, figuring them out, not afraid of Cleveland like Toronto was afraid of Cleveland. But if Cleveland wins the next two games, I think Cleveland wins the series.
Okay. Well, and
they even it up. They win the series.
We can agree to disagree because I don't think they're going to win the next two games.
All right.
I think Boston's got their number. And something interesting is developing in this series. It looks like the old bad boys and the Pistons are playing. You know, back in the day, you came down the lane, somebody would take your head off. Ask Kurt Rambis. He remembers Kevin McHale all too well. Back in the day, you could hand check. Back in the day, somebody knock you right out of bounds on your head. Back in the day. No more. No more hand checking. They want everybody back. They want to put more points on the board. Last night, what we had really was a return to yesteryear. LeBron James was popped in the jaw by Terry Rozier, and LeBron sprained his neck. The Cavs' J.R. Smith shoved an airborne Al Horford in the back late in the fourth quarter. Smith was called for a flagrant one foul. Boston's Marcus Smart got in Smith's face, almost started a fight. Tristan Thompson and Marcus Morris got into a shoving match in the third quarter. The reason being, the Celtics are exerting their physical prowess, and Tyronn Lue doesn't like that one bit.
You got to be tougher. You know, I think they're playing tougher than we are. We see that. They're being physical. They're gooning the game up, and we got to do the same thing. So we got to be tougher mentally and physically.
They're gooning the game up.
Gooning the game up. Means they got a bunch of goons on that team in Boston. I don't buy that. I don't think they're gooning the game up. I mean, look, it's not even close to what it was when the Pistons and the Celtics and Lakers played, or, you know, the Bulls and the Pistons played in the playoffs. Not even close. Yeah, we had some pushing and shoving. You know, for Tyronn Lue to say that about, you know, about Boston, they did the same thing Cleveland did. So J.R. Smith, that was as hard a foul as there was when, you know, Al Horford's up in the air and he's pushing him in the air. So it goes both sides, but I don't think it's going in the air. The guys are still getting free reign to the basket. It's not like they're getting knocked down every time they get in the paint. It's not like the old days. It really isn't. So, I mean, I know they want to try to say that it is, but it's not even close.
To me, it looks like the Celtics have done something that no one has been able to do. They've been able to impose their will. That's what it comes down to. When you aren't beat physically, the other team is now imposing its will on you. And that's why I think, Rodney, that there will be no return trip to the championship for LeBron James. I think that the die has been cast and that Boston is imposing its will. Cleveland will win a game, of course, but they won't win enough.
Yeah, I think what's happening too is that you know sometimes you realize with a lot of guys, and it's really happening with Boston, is that, you know, everyone said, oh, Gordon Hayward, Kyrie Irving, they got a great team to get to the finals. They brought in these free agents. They go down, and everyone in outside of Boston is thinking, oh, what do they do now? How did they make it now? And those guys like Terry Rozier, you know, like Jaylen Brown, are thinking, well, I'm not getting any respect. Let me show you what I can do. I can play as well. And they're playing together as a team. And I also think that, you know, Brad Stevens, the way he's coached this team is truly amazing. He is definitely one of the best two coaches in the league right now. But those guys are players and have been underestimated throughout the season, because Terry Rozier is as good as any young guard in the league right now. And same thing, Jason Tatum, you know, we talked about him hitting the wall in January, but he's come back from that wall. He's climbed over that wall. Now he's playing like a veteran. And then Al Horford, who's been underrated his whole career, is having a career series in the playoffs right now. They got good players in Boston. They really do.
Yeah, well, and it's taken them a while. They followed their process, and it worked, yeah. Something the Lakers are trying to emulate. By the way, I've just received word that Friday, now, if it's not enough that we're just going to be at Hollywood Park,
uh-oh,
we're giving away Dodger tickets live at Hollywood Park.
What?
That's right. And we're actually going to fulfill that promise. We're actually going to keep our word.
You must got an email from Weiss.
I got word.
Oh, okay.
I got word. So we're giving away Dodger tickets.
So get there early.
Friday, noon to 2, the Rays Lounge at Hollywood Park. When we come back, Ned Coletti will join us. Plus, stay with us during the break. Fred Rogan and Rodney Peete on AM570 LA Sports. All right, Kenny. You're on AM570 LA Sports. How you doing today?
I'm doing good. How's it going?
Going great. Going better for you. You're going to see the Dodgers. How about that?
Yeah, boy.
You want a pair of tickets to see the Dodgers play the Rockies June 29th? The band Dead and Company will perform before the game, and Friday Night Fireworks featuring a Grateful Dead mix presented by Denny's will happen afterwards. For more info, visit Dodgers.com/Dead and Company. Enjoy yourself.
Great. Thanks a lot.
You got it. Thank you for listening, and thank you for listening. Maybe you'll win $1,000.
Cool.
Not you.
And answer the phone. Look, it could be a block number, unknown number, whoever is calling you. Just answer the phone. That's the only way we put a grand in your hand. Answer the phone!
Now let's bring on the million-dollar man, the man that sat in the big chair, Ned Coletti. Ned, thank you for being with us today.
You're welcome, gentlemen.
All right, I remember, and I can't remember the year, Don Mattingly was the manager.
Yep.
And there was this terrible stretch. And I know you were agonizing at that point in time about possibly making a decision. And Don said, you know what? He told the team, we're just going to restart the season starting today. And then they went on that incredible run. Is that the kind of thing that should happen now?
Well, it depends on the nature of the clubhouse and all that. I mean, it's tough for me to say because I'm not in that room. That year was 2013. We were 12 games under 500, 9.5 out, like 5 weeks later in the season than we are today. I think we won 92 games that year and ended up winning the division by a bunch. So I think that probably everything that can be said has been said. I think what you got to do at this point in time is it's up to the individual to figure it out and to really just be able to focus on what they do. Last night there was a excessive amount of flyouts in my mind. Guys trying to hit it out. I think they flew out 16 times. I think Miami may have flew out 5 or 6 times. You see guys uppercut. You see guys trying to do it all with one swing, and you can't really play that way. I think it's one thing compounds on another, but at the end of the day, you got to keep your strike zone small, which is what they did all last year, and pound away. This is not a good pitching staff that Miami's going to feature. And you've got opportunity, but you gotta have you be able to slow your mind down as a hitter. Right now, the offense has really left a lot of guys on. Runners in scoring position is way down, but that can change in a heartbeat.
No, it can. And Ned, so at this point, do you trust the process? You trust the front office and way you've built this, and the manager and the way Dave Roberts has built this? Even though it's going bad and really hoping that it's going to get turned around? Or do you have to do something radically different to kind of change the culture, change the dynamic of what's happening right now?
Well, that's a very interesting question. First off, I'll answer like a secondary question to that. If you're going to do something like that, you better know it's going to be better. You better know it's going to be better. It can't be the same, and you have to make that decision that it needs to be done, A. But whatever you decide to do, it's more than just the first half of that decision. It's the second half, which is as important as the first half, if not sometimes more important than the first half. But I do think that typically I would wait till you got to early May. I would let the team settle in. I would look for a rhythm with a club. I would hope that we had a couple, two or three of those walk-off type emotional wins to kind of solidify the group in a confident way. and I wait till early May and see where we were at. This team, we're a little bit past early May. We're a week past early May, but they've also just got Justin Turner back. Last night was opening day for Justin Turner, maybe one of their best players. Corey Seager is gone. You've got a lot of different dynamics that you typically wouldn't have at the beginning of a season. So I think it's going to take a little bit more time, in my mind, to really kind of sort out. I know people don't want to hear that. They want results today. But when you do that in a sport like baseball, you can make a huge mistake too early. I don't see Arizona running away with it. I don't think their bullpen is strong enough. They've got their own injury issues. They lost Pollock. Robbie Ray's on the shelf. Walker's gone for the rest of the year. They've got their own issues. I think this division is going to play back, and it's going to be tight at the end. I think that anybody's going to, not San Diego necessarily, not necessarily San Francisco, but I think Colorado, Arizona, Dodgers, I think they'll go down to the wire with it. But it's tough to watch right now, and everybody, you know, the blessing and the curse of the sport is you play it almost every day, so you're always thinking about it.
Yeah, but the problem is, Ned, they're not beating the teams they're supposed to beat.
No doubt.
You got to beat Cincinnati. You got to beat Miami. They did that. They feasted on those teams last year.
Yes, they did.
And if you can't even beat the teams you're supposed to beat, you're in big trouble.
Well, there's games where you're going to get beat. The other team is getting paid, too. It's not one set of professionals and a bunch of amateurs you're playing against. They're getting paid, too. And they're expected to play well and kind of get their feet wet and kind of grow on the job. So you're right. You're supposed to be beating that team. I think they're maybe 2-9, 2-10 against San Diego, against Miami, against Cincinnati, bottom three teams in each division. And that's all within the last two or three weeks. So not good. Miami's beating them 3. Cincinnati beat them 4. San Diego beat them 2. So whatever that adds up to 9. 2-9 in that group. You've got to beat those teams. But, again, you can't just throw your gloves out there and expect to beat them. You've got to be able to slow the game down in your own mind as a hitter and concentrate. The kid last night had given up 13 runs in his last two starts, including 5 or 6 home runs. Did the Dodgers go in with a game plan to see if we can hit it out and really make a big impact early? You get 16 flyouts. You know, maybe that was the approach. Not sure. But you got to play the game the right way, and you got to play it where your strike zone, especially as a hitter, it's compact. You expand it against guys that can't necessarily pitch, you are doing them a huge favor, as well as those guys that can. But especially the team that you're talking about, there's not a lot of pitching on any of those staffs. They're all guys that probably wouldn't make the Dodgers staff. But right now, they're making pitches, and the Dodgers are expanding their strike zone, in my opinion, and making a few more easy outs than they need to.
Hey, Ned, if you had your choice, one or the other, like, you know, the bullpen has obviously struggled. We've got lack of run production. But if you had to pick one in which you said, okay, this is what's going to turn around right now and this will make the difference, is it run production or is it the success of the bullpen?
Well, I think the first thing would be the run production. The second thing would be the bullpen. You're going to need them both. But as of right here, right now, on this particular moment in time, the offense, I think, has got to get going so you can give your pitching staff just some margin of error, because they pitch with really no margin of error. I think Alex Wood hasn't won a game yet. 16-3 last year. He's pitched very well. I think he's had 5 or 6 of his 9 starts where they scored 1 run or 0 runs, including last night while he was in the game. I think they may have scored 1. So you've got to get your offense going because that kind of sets the tone a little bit. Certainly your starting pitching does. That's been pretty good. It's really your offense has really given the starting pitching and the bullpen no margin of error. I'd start there, but I'm not saying that's where it's got to end. Your bullpen does have to get straightened out. I think I read the other day they've allowed as many home runs as anybody in baseball, tied with Minnesota for the most home runs allowed. Your bullpen, I mean, you're really talking about one-on-one matchups entirely when you're in a bullpen situation. That, to me, is a little bit alarming. But, again, it's all fixable.
Ned, you know the fans. Make a trade. Pull the trigger. Do something. Do anything. But it's also safe to say that one trade is not going to turn this around. Does that make sense?
Well, I think that the talent is here. I think the to make one trade, if you want to go get that big infielder you're talking about,
right,
is that going to fix the bullpen? What are you going to have to give up? It's easy to say, make a trade, go get this great hitter, go do this, go do that. It's another thing to be able to do it. The other team has got expectations, too. They've got a fan base. They've got an ownership. They've got a system that they're trying to make successful, too. You just can't it's not fantasy sport. You can't just make a deal because it's time to make a deal or you want to make a deal or you think you have an unlimited budget and you've got an unlimited farm system and you just call somebody up and a deal gets done. It doesn't work that way. I'm here to tell you, it doesn't work that way. And so you've got to be constant with it, and you've got to wait for the right timing. Sometimes a trade will take a year or two to take place. Sometimes it takes months. Adrian Gonzalez, I planned to see with Ben Charrington the end of April. It turned out to be August 25th. The Manny Ramirez deal, that happened that morning, but there was a deadline attached to it. It was July 31st. Theo Epstein called me at 6 in the morning. We worked on it till 1 o'clock Pacific time, the deadline time. So sometimes it's a long time making. Sometimes it's quick. But if you're a team right now with a talented player, you're gonna try to move at the deadline, your only downside is injury. That's your only risk. And is that a risk? Absolutely. But it's the only risk because there's going to be more people bidding the longer you wait, and more desperation the longer you wait. And the only time you can make a deal, in my opinion, this time of year of consequence is if you're going to pay a buck and a half for a dollar. If you're going to do that, you'll be able to do it because the team doesn't necessarily know on the other side what they're going to be able to extract. So you're going to have to take all the guesswork away and pay them more than probably time and a half on one. And, you know, you do that. And does that fix everything? Because a trade doesn't necessarily fix a problem. A trade may fix a problem. It may liven up the group. It may provide more offense. But there's no one deal that guarantees you anything. It doesn't work like that.
Right. That's what I've said all along.
Right.
I've agreed with you the whole time.
Sorry, a little long-winded there, but I thought I needed to explain it to you.
No, and that's what people want to hear. They understand you've done it. You've sat in the chair. You know how this works. And I think it's important for people to have the real perspective on how these things actually go down. So thank you for that.
It's hard to win, guys. I mean, look at the Lakers. What basketball franchise was greater than that team for 20-plus years? And look what's happened. I mean, it's hard to win. And you can never, ever take it for granted. And those who think you should just win a World Series because you haven't won one, guess what? That's not how it works. Winning divisions are difficult. It's a hard business, and it's not easy to win. So you've got to be – it's a precious journey, and you got to work it as such.
Yeah, and people forget how difficult that is, as you said, winning five in a row and then take it for granted the next year when you may struggle to start the season.
Think about the guys that have been here for 5 years.
Yeah.
In some cases, they've almost played an extra baseball season in that period of time compared – to the competition that hasn't won divisions in the West. They've almost played an extra season. They played 2, 3, 4 weeks longer times 5. That's a lot.
They're tired.
Well, mentally, it's a grind. Don't get me wrong. And that doesn't mean you can't repeat. That doesn't mean you can't get back there. But there are other factors that enter into it. And it's the toughest thing to do. The ability to be, and this is an opinion, the ability to be very successful, ultra successful in a relentless way, year after year after year, is maybe the toughest thing to do in sport these days. When you look at the dynasties and you look at those teams that are constantly at the top of their sport, it's a very unique opportunity and group. Hard to do. Too many factors play against it, including mental weariness, injury, financial, where guys start to get paid so well that, you know what, it's hard to play, it's hard to win. You know, you take a day off here and there, whatever. You know, it's throughout sports. But it's hard to be. It's hard to be successful.
Ned, thanks for jumping on. We really appreciate it, as always, and love the insight.
All right, gentlemen. We're going to talk after a win next time. Let's do that.
Let's do that.
Let's do it. All right.
Absolutely.
Thanks, Ned.
It's time for good call.
Keep up the good work, guys.
Bad call.
I may have to hang up on him.
All right, guys. Good call or bad call for Michigan State to wait until now to compensate Larry Nassar's victims. Yesterday afternoon, attorneys representing 332 claimants We reached an agreement with Michigan State University representatives, compensating them at a settlement of $500 million for the victims of the Larry Nassar, sexual abuse case. But, of course, this has been going on for a while now, and Michigan State just now deciding to take action in reaching a settlement. Good call or bad call for them to wait this long to make a decision, Fred?
Well, I think the call is deserved. That these victims are going to be compensated in some way is a good call. But I wonder this. Anyone that's ever been through that kind of situation, no matter how much money somebody pays you, do you ever get over it? Or is that something that lingers? It stays with you. So it's a good call they were compensated. But I don't know if you ever get over what so many of those athletes went through.
Can't put a price on that. Rodney?
Yeah, you know, obviously, you know, people like to see it happen sooner and right away. But I think it's a good call that they really went through the process. I think they really were thorough about the compensation part of it and wanted to make sure that they got it right. So I'm okay with them, you know, taking this long and going and being thorough with it. I'm just glad that they came to this conclusion, and $500 million is a lot of money for the hundreds of kids and families that were affected by Larry Nassar and his abuse, that they actually did the right thing. But I think it did take a while for them to really analyze and come to the right solution and the right number for this, because I didn't want them to be hasty and go quickly and say, it's $100 million, we'll give the families $100 million, you know, which could have happened. You know, maybe that is why it took so long. So I'm glad that it did and it's finally done, but I appreciate them taking the time to be thorough. Good call.
How about you, Vic?
Well, it's a good call. It's financial closure, but there will never be emotional closure. These young women whose lives were destroyed, you know, by this evil NASA, unbelievable that he's able to see the sunlight for his evil deeds.
Ever again.
I mean, he tainted, you know, not just America, he tainted mankind. This guy was an animal. This freaking NASA was an animal. And our hearts go out to the women. The money will never be enough. I mean, Michigan State, I'm glad that, you know, they're compensating the women, you know, but $500 million. We're talking about at least, 40, 50 young women who have pressed charges against NASA. So Michigan State's getting off cheap for $500 million for what NASA did. It's just horrific acts. Horrific.
Over 330 claimants there, Vic. It's ridiculous. Sickening number.
Yeah, Michigan State's getting off cheap on this.
They really are. On a lighter note, I don't know how you transition out of that, but good call or bad call for the Clippers to pursue DeMar DeRozan. There was a report from the New York Times yesterday that said the Raptors were shopping around DeMar DeRozan last summer. And, of course, he had a breakout season this year, being an all-star once again, the Raptors having the best regular season in their franchise's history. And now the rumors are that they were also looking at possibly trading him again this summer. And, of course, the Clippers have those two lottery picks that they acquired yesterday from the draft lottery. So, should the Clippers use those picks and other assets to try to acquire DeMar DeRozan, Rodney?
Yes! Go get him! He's done in Toronto. Toronto can't win. They can't get past Cleveland. And certainly now they're not going to get past Philadelphia or Boston in the foreseeable future. If the Clippers can get him now. DeMar DeRozan needs to come back to L.A., play at USC, fight on Trojans. But come on. Yeah, go get him. Go get him.
Fred?
Absolutely not.
Oh!
Do not go get him. Do not alter what you're trying to do. Do not make the mistake
Break it up.
Playing the name game.
Break it up.
Do not do that. It's going to take time. Take your time and build something that sustains.
How about you, Vic?
Love DeMar, but he's going nowhere. He loves Toronto. The Clippers can make all the overtures they want to get DeMar DeRozan, but DeMar loves Toronto, and Toronto loves DeMar DeRozan.
I don't know. Rumor has it they might be trying to ship him out, so we'll see, Vic.
Come on. Come on.
Rodney's kind of biased, though, too, so I don't know if I can.
Yeah.
You know. Good call or bad call for the Knicks to take away Ethan Hawke's season tickets because he criticized the team. Ethan Hawke did an interview on Bill Simmons' podcast the other day, And apparently now he has not paid for tickets the last couple of years. He's been a big fan, grew up in the New York area. And he says because he went out and criticized the Knicks organization, saying that they should have kept Mike D'Antoni and traded Carmelo years ago, that they took his tickets away. He says he called them up one night. They told him they were charging him $8,000 for tickets. He says, why are you charging me all of a sudden? He says, you should have thought of that when you went on Jimmy Fallon's and criticized us. So they took his tickets away, and now he's been trying to lobby to get his tickets back. Good call or bad call for the Knicks organization to take away his season seats because he criticized them publicly, Fred?
Oh, it's a great call. He's getting free tickets. Free. You know, if you're a free ticket guy, you're a company guy. Now, he told the truth, but still in all, I mean, he's getting free tickets. I got a better idea. You're Ethan Hawke. You can afford to pay.
Yeah, that is a better point.
Hi.
That's a good call.
I'm just wondering why you took my tickets away, my free tickets. Because we did. Because you have to pay now. So, yeah, good. Pay. That's what I say.
Rod?
Ain't always about the money, Fred. It's about the ambassadorship, right? They didn't say anything when he was praising the Knicks. He was a Knick fan wearing the Knick hats and the Knick uniform and the Knick jerseys. They loved that because they posted it on the website all the time. You know what I'm saying? It was all good. But God forbid that you say anything bad about the Knicks. Now they're going to take away your tickets?
Free tickets.
Yeah, but they loved it when he was talking good about the Knicks.
If you call him an
ambassador.
When he was
wearing it. You can't say anything bad about your team? Is that the way it is?
If you call him an
ambassador. If you're going to give him free tickets, give him free tickets. Good or bad. He's a public face that you've used on your side as well. So if he says something bad or he criticizes the season. Look, it's real. They're horrible.
Yeah.
They're horrible. All right? He can't be real. He's still loyal to the Knicks. He can't take it back after that. Come on.
Well,
that's a horrible call.
You called him an ambassador. Look at it like this. They simply have shut down his embassy. That's it.
A good outlook. Our resident New Yorker, Vic.
The New York Knicks are the worst basketball trash the last 50 years in the NBA. They haven't won a title since 1973. Ethan Hawke speaks the truth, but should pay for his tickets, man. Spike Lee pays for his tickets, right? They don't give freebies to Spike Lee, man. Spike Lee pays for his tickets. Ethan Hawke should pay for his tickets. What's Ethan thinking, man? You don't get free tickets. Pay for your tickets and say anything you want about the Knicks. The Knicks suck.
Just their principal. Shouldn't they give those to, like, underprivileged kids or something? I mean, Ethan Hawke can afford his own tickets.
They should.
You're bringing the kids from the boroughs, man. But, you know, I don't think the kids in the boroughs want to watch that trash that's a New York Knicks.
That's a good point,
New York Knicks about basketball, man. It really is garbage.
On that note, that was a good call, bad call.
Nice call, Ken. Yeah. When we come back,
K-Figure.
Petros and Money Plus, we have to say goodbye to someone. Fred Rogan and Rodney Pete on AM 570 LA Sports.